Welcome. If you're new here, welcome. I hope you feel welcome. We're going to have some Bible reading. I'm going to ask Chris to come up, and he's going to read us the verses for today. Yeah, that's it.
Good morning, church. So Bible reading for today is Romans 8, 9 to 17. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father.
Amen.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Galatians 4:4-6. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Thank you, Chris. Praise the Lord for God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. You have given us your word that we can know you. Lord, this morning, as we come again to your word, speak to each one of us. Speak to our hearts. Convict us by your word. Encourage us by your word. Challenge us by your word so that we could live a life that matches you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going through, if you're a guest with us, we are going through a series called Anchored, Truth in Changing Times. What are the things of the truth that anchor us, hold us, sustain us, and the things that we need to know that we will not be shaken? So we've been going through a lot of things concerning God, concerning the Bible, concerning salvation. Here we go. Bible creation, Trinity, Bible creation, humankind, the covenants, Christ, and we've inserted here this matter of the Spirit, because the Spirit is very important. It's part of the Trinity. And eventually we'll close with the matter of the church. So last week, Ian gave us a good beginning on this matter of the Spirit, and a normal question at the end of what he shared would be, so then, how do we receive the Spirit? When do we receive the Spirit? That's kind of the normal question. How and when do we receive the Spirit? If the Spirit has been given, poured out, as Ian mentioned last week, sent by the Father, sent by the Son, when do we get it? Right? That's the kind of the normal question people would have. Let us begin by saying how we do not receive the Spirit. We do not receive the Spirit by infant baptism. We do not receive the Spirit by going through confirmation classes. We do not receive the Spirit by receiving the sacraments. And you may wonder, what are the sacraments? Well, the sacraments are like taking the bread, taking the cup, or even being baptized. We do not receive the Spirit by reciting the Apostles' Creed or any other creed. How do we receive the Spirit? Well, let's look at what does the Bible say. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Let me ask you," this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatian churches, and he says, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law?" In other words, something that you did, keeping commandments, doing certain things, requiring all these things. "Did you receive the Spirit by that, or did you receive it by hearing with faith?" Now, you're supposed to know the answer. And Paul knew that they knew the answer too. And the answer is, you received the Spirit by hearing with faith. He goes on to say, "Since you began that way, now why are you doing continuing in a different way?" We do not receive the Spirit by a ceremony. We receive the Spirit by believing, by faith. The Bible talks about being born again, and we'll come to that in a minute, but it talks about being born again, born of the Spirit, born of God, or born from above. All of these kind of things are mentioned. It's all the same thing. Also in Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." That means he went to the cross, right? "As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles," listen carefully, "so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." The Spirit is received through faith. So, Christ going to the cross, based on these two verses, Christ going to the cross is so that we can receive the Spirit by faith. In John chapter 1, 12 and 13, the Apostle John writes, "But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become," what? "Children of God." Children of God. We become children of God through faith, through believing. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." We're born of God. In chapter 3, verse 6, he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So you have this matter of born of God and born of the Spirit. When we were born of God, when we were regenerated, when we received the life of God, we were also born of the Spirit. There's not more than one spiritual birth. There's only one spiritual birth. When we were born of God, we were born of the Spirit. When you believed in the Lord, when you received him, and you became a child of God, you were born of God, you were born again, you were born of the Spirit. You don't need to be born of the Spirit in addition to being born of God. Is that clear? I hope so. So, because of that, Paul the Apostle also writes in his letters, in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, we read that this morning, but Romans 8:9, the very first verse was, that what? The Spirit of God, in bold, lives in you. How can the Spirit of God live in you? Because you're born of God and you're born of the Spirit. Therefore, the Spirit lives in you. Everyone who has believed in the Lord and been born of God has the Spirit living in them. We have this good quote from a scholar, James Dunn, who writes, "The Spirit is the defining mark of the Christian. A spiritless Christian would have been a contradiction in terms for Paul, the apostle. It was by receiving the Spirit that one became a Christian." I know there are some who teach you believe, you become a Christian, and then you need to pray for a second blessing, which is the Spirit. But the Bible doesn't talk about a second blessing. In Paul's understanding, you are a Christian, you have the Spirit. Or you have the Spirit, you are a Christian. These two things cannot be separated. You cannot be a spiritless Christian. James Dunn gives a good point. So, let's continue. Sorry, this is first information. You got to have information before you can have, right? We got to understand first. Okay, one more thing, and that is what's this? This is the matter, the Spirit of God and God's Word, the Bible, they are work together. The Spirit of God and God's Word work together. So, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he says, Peter the apostle writes, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." Born through the Word of God. So, you say, well, before we're born of the Spirit or we're born of God, and now you're saying we're born by the Word of God. These things all work together. So, if you feel the Spirit is leading you some way that is contrary to the Bible, your feeling is wrong. If anyone ever says, and this has happened apparently not to me, but if a man ever says, "Oh, the Spirit of God is leading me to divorce my wife and marry another woman." That's not the Spirit of God. That's something else. If you believe in other spirits, maybe that for sure is an other spirit. The Bible's against it. Therefore, the Spirit is against it. The Spirit doesn't supersede God's Word because the Spirit is God. Okay. So, then my question to you is quite simple. Are you born again? Have you received the life of God, and do you have the Spirit of God? If you are in doubt, you need to pray. You need to receive the Lord, believe Him. And if you're waiting, I don't know what you're waiting for. Are you waiting for more information? Are you waiting for a feeling? Are you waiting to be more convinced? Why wait? I heard this expression. Those who are waiting for the 11th hour die at 10:30. Don't wait. Don't wait. Receive him. Okay. And if you're not clear, come to me afterwards and we'll get you clear. What's the result of receiving the Spirit? Well, number one, the Spirit of God, once we have received it, gives us the assurance that we are God's children. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." When we believe in the Lord, when we receive the Spirit of God gives us a witness or testifies within us, you're God's child. You're different. I remember I was even very young. I was in seventh grade when I received the Lord. And it was on a weekend. The first Monday back at school, I remember being in the schoolyard during lunchtime or recess, and I just had this feeling, you're not the same person that you were last Friday. Something's different. Something is different. I couldn't say at that point what it was. I just had this inner registration. What was it? It was the Spirit of God witnessing with my spirit that I'm a child of God. I'm not the same. Something's happened. Was it earth-shattering? No, but just deep within. I don't know what happened. What happened? I prayed, but something else happened. I don't even realize what happened. Okay, not only that, but the verse just prior to this, verse 15, says, "You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." There is also within us this realization, my relationship with God is a child with a father. And it's this Abba, Father, it's intimacy, it's daddy. Sonship, being a child of God, becoming a child of God, gives us a response inwardly, Abba, Father. I call him my father. Galatians 4:6 also says the same thing. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. Why? Because we're sons. Calling God our Father just is the natural response and continuation of our being assured that we are God's child. It's just the natural, normal response. Well, the Apostle Paul, in these verses we read this morning in Romans chapter 8, also has a few other expressions which are, I believe, quite important for us today. Now that we've received the Spirit, now that we know we have the Spirit, now that we know we have the assurance that we're God's children and we can call God Father, what next? Romans chapter 8, verse 14 speaks about being led by the Spirit. All who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Being led by the Spirit. What does this mean? When you think of somebody, well, let's use the expression. I know most of us are not familiar with horses, but you can lead a horse, right? We have this expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, when a horse is trained properly, it will what? It will just follow along. Follow. It's being led. It's following. The person who's leading it goes this way. The horse follows to the left or to the right, depending on how the person is leading. It's led. What does that mean? Well, I would like to suggest this to you. It means the horse is obeying the leader. The horse is obeying the leader. To be led by the Spirit, I would like to propose, is to obey the Spirit or follow the Spirit, however you want to use the word. To obey the Spirit, to follow the Spirit, is to also follow the Word. Initially, the word tells us basically two things we should do and we need to obey. The first thing is be baptized. Be baptized. And just by the way, here's an announcement inserted in the middle of the sermon. We're going to have a baptism probably the end of July. We already have one person who wants to be baptized. If you feel you want to be baptized, come see either Bob Duncan or Ian Brinksman, the one who shared last week. Baptism does not mean, the act of baptism is a testimony that you have been identified with Christ, that you have already received the Spirit. You don't receive the Spirit by being physically baptized, but it is a testimony that you are one with the death and resurrection of Christ. The second thing the Bible tells us to do is to remember the Lord. By what? By eating of the bread and of the cup, partaking of the cup. We do that in different ways, but at least once a month we do that, which we will do next week. We are called to remember the Lord by partaking. Again, I want to tell you, partaking of that bread and of that little bit of wine or grape juice, whatever it is, that is not receiving the Lord. That is not receiving the Spirit. But we're asked to remember Him by doing that, or do that in remembrance of Him. Those are kind of outward things. But I would like to spend some time this morning, the remainder of the time, talking about this matter of what does it mean, other than those two things, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit, to follow the Spirit? Or Paul also uses the term, what is it to walk according to the Spirit? What do all these things mean? What do they mean to us practically? What's striking about this is, let's look at, do we have Romans 8:13 up there? If not, we can go back to the very beginning again. Romans 8:13 says, verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Then right away it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." You know, most Christians would say, "I would like to be filled with the Spirit. I would like to be empowered by the Spirit." But my question is, are we willing to obey the Spirit? Are we willing to submit to the Spirit of God? We like the great things. We like the powerful things. But are we willing to obey the Spirit? And what's striking to me is this. Here in Romans, and also in the book of Galatians, when the Spirit is mentioned about walking by the Spirit, look at this verse again. If you live according to the flesh, you're about to die. But if by the Spirit you live a powerful life, a victorious life, I hope. No, it says, if by the Spirit what you put to death, the misdeeds of the body. The Spirit, if you remember last week, Ian read us the verse from John chapter 16. I believe it was verse 8. When the Spirit comes, Jesus said, He will what? Convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. You may say, Del, you're being negative. Well, conviction isn't condemnation. What is conviction? Conviction, when the Spirit convicts, the purpose of conviction is to get you back on the right path. You're off, but get right on. The real work of the convicting of the Holy Spirit is to actually bring us to God out from sin. I'll come back again to my 11-year-old experiences of salvation. I was sitting in a meeting. Somebody gave a gospel message. At the end, they asked, whoever wants to respond to the gospel, walk up to the front. It was a meeting, maybe not quite as big as this, but when you're 11 years old, it was big. And I was sitting in my seat. For some reason, I don't know why, God's arrangement, that night, I was not sitting with my parents. I didn't remember who I was sitting with. All I remember was sitting in that seat, and I had this deep conviction, get up and walk to the front. Get up and walk to the... But nobody's up there yet. Nope. Eventually, I submitted and obeyed the Spirit of God moving in me, and I, as an 11-year-old, trotted up to the front. First one. Someone else eventually joined me. But let me tell you this. When you obey the Spirit, when you submit to the Spirit's prompting, God gives you a certain, what should I say, peace, joy. I'm just right with God because I obeyed. I'm right with God because I obeyed. We want the Spirit's power, but are we willing to submit? We want the Spirit's infilling, but are we willing to obey? What does it mean to obey? You know, our whole life, every day is filled with opportunities. Oftentimes, the Spirit says to us husbands, don't say that to your wife. Be quiet. Or, if we common terms today, suck it up. Don't say it. Turn off that TV. Don't go to that website. Or, once you get to that website, get out of that website. Convicting concerning sin, concerning righteousness. Don't spend the money on that thing. Don't go shopping. Walk out of that store. Don't buy that item. Why is it that the Spirit mainly says don't? Well, not always. Someone says, maybe the Spirit says, no, instead of buying that for yourself, take that money and give it to somebody else. I had a recent, in the past few years, an experience which I would say was the Spirit's working on me for a long period of time. You see, I have a weakness. And it took me a while for me to admit it. What is my weakness? My weakness is I'm a man pleaser, if you didn't know. Some of you know. And the Lord convicted me about this. And fortunately, one day, I was doing some research and I came across a title of a book, Pleasing Man. I thought, that's me. Better read the book. And it was very helpful. But after reading the book, I kind of almost felt worse. Why? Because he said, to be a man pleaser means you don't fear God, you fear man. I thought, well, that's conviction, all right. So the Lord worked on me, I would say, for 2 years. And I realized, okay, it's not... The problem with me is sometimes I don't speak when I ought to speak. Right? Sometimes we speak when we shouldn't speak, and sometimes we don't speak when we ought to speak. And I realized in a certain situation, even with a specific brother, I will not mention his name, that I felt like I'm always silent. Then the next question came to me is, do you really love that brother or not? Or do you love yourself? If the Spirit is speaking to you to say something to correct him, but I'm afraid that he's going to take it wrong, I'm afraid he's not going to like me, who am I afraid of? God or a man? Spirit was working with me on that for 2 years. And then I realized, well, okay, so that does mean the next time I see him, I got to blast him? I realized, that's not the Spirit. Or do I speak at the time the Spirit said, okay, now is the time to what? Number one, deny yourself, love this brother, and obey God. And eventually, by the Lord's mercy, a time came. The right time came. I spoke, not knowing how it would be received. But it was received. And I would say, why? Because I was finally, after how many years, willing to let the Lord lead me to speak when I ought to speak. And, of course, the right tone, the right words, the right spirit, all of that is part of the... Now, let me ask you, doesn't the Spirit need to do a lot of work in you and me? In all kinds of areas? Of course, you know, a lot of it has to do with our relationships, but some of it has to do with how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we use the internet, all these things. The Spirit wants to lead us. But you know, the Spirit doesn't come in with a baseball bat. Do! Stop! Don't! No, it's an inward conviction. When you feel guilty, you need to respond to that sense of feeling guilty and say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repent. Even to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I sinned. You want to be empowered by the Spirit, learn to submit, to obey the Spirit in all the little things. There's enough little things to keep us well occupied with the Spirit. We don't need to go for the big things. The Spirit's work is to sanctify us. To what? To make us holy. That's the Spirit's work. Our sanctification. The Spirit works to sanctify us. So, may the Lord all work in us this week to obey Him in all the little things, in our relationships. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you and thank you that you have given us your Spirit that lives within us. This is wonderful. That as believers, we have your Spirit dwelling in us. But Lord, we want to learn this week how to follow you, to be led by the Spirit, to obey the Spirit, to submit to the Spirit's prompting, whether to speak, whether not to speak, going places, not going places. Lord, we do desire that you would sanctify each one of us, bringing us more like you. We pray for every member here this morning, every person present here this morning. May her Spirit work in each one of us. We ask this in your powerful and mighty name. Amen. Next week, we will have lunch after the meeting. We will have communion at the end of the meeting. We will begin at 10 o'clock with a class first. May the Lord be with you. Go in peace.